Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X virtual studio in Alpharetta. No, we're not in Renaissance Bank at the moment. Hopefully you know, we are under stay-at-home conditions in Alpharetta and really across the state of Georgia. But Renaissance Bank is open for business, and you can come through and check out the drive-through. They're open in the drive-throughs, but if you're a customer and you want to go into the bank, you have to make an appointment. So give them a call, make an appointment, and they will have you come in. Give your friendly Renaissance banker a call, or go to renaissancebank.com and check out the latest there. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now we've got a really timely, important show. Well, all our shows are important, but this one's particularly important given the small business assistance packages that have been passed in Washington. We've got a roundtable here from Nichols Colley, three really accomplished professionals, Keith Daniel, William Sammons, and Tim Veal, all from Nichols Colley. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to have you. So, Keith, I'm going to start with you and just let you give folks an overview of Nichols Colley. Tell people that aren't familiar with your firm what you're all about. What do you do? How do you help folks?
Well, start off by just talking a little bit about what kind of gave me the idea to do this. And that was that yesterday I was in my office and a lady called me and intimated that she had reached out to her CPA firm to find out about these programs. And it was a small firm. And the gentleman apparently told her, hey, look, we're so busy with taxes, we haven't had really any time to devote to this. I have a good friend, though, that has been sending out emails on this to get everybody information, and maybe you should call him. So the lady called me. We talked for about a half hour, and yesterday on the way home, it occurred to me, you know, there's probably a lot of people out there with this problem, this challenge, and we as a firm have devoted a lot of time and resources to understanding this and what it's doing to our clients. And I just thought it would be a great idea to get with you because we've done shows before, John, mm-hmm. and of course to invite my two partners who are particularly knowledgeable about this, to have them weigh in on this and help people. And I just thought this would be a good time and good content. I think that I'm going to defer to William to explain Nichols Colley. Not that I don't know, but he's kind of our managing partner here in Atlanta and probably has a better elevator pitch on this than I do. But William, why don't you jump in and I'll step aside. But William and Tim are partners of ours here in the firm, Williams and Peachtree Corners, and Tim is partner in our Dublin, Georgia office. But William, why don't you jump in?
Okay, thank you, Keith and John. Our firm, Nichols Colley, we started, it depends on which tree you trace back. I can get you back into the early to mid 1900s if you want to, but I look at us starting in the 70s. Mm. And on the firm, Tim and I, we were together at the beginning, a few other ones, what I think the firm is, and we grew it from a small firm out of McRae, Georgia, to we have 9 offices in Georgia and 1 small satellite office in Florida. Our firm, you know, John, what we try to do with our firm is when our clients are in need, like in the 2007-08 financial crisis, and now with the coronavirus crisis, we always believe that you can't write it down. It's really a feeling. And when our clients are in need, we react. You know, this time is a troubled time for our clients, and we probably spend 12 hours a day on the telephone in various aspects, but we jumped out immediately, which played well because we were helping our clients, but then the rules continue to change. Mm-hmm. And And so yesterday morning, we had to do an about face because SBA came out with some new guidelines. And so what we're trying to do is be responsive for our clients and field their questions.
And that's an important point that both of you made, both you, William, and Keith made, is that things have changed significantly over these past few days, even day to day, things have changed. So here we are, as we tape this show, April 4th, Saturday, April 4th, just so folks know, really we're at a point where we pretty much know where we're going with all this, right?
Well, we pretty much know where we're going with all of this this morning as we speak. April 4th, we pretty much know. But I think there's further clarification and there's confusion out there. So to be fair, you know what we did, John, we pivoted some teams out there, and I won't go through the whole. We have a communications team, a bank interface team, I'd say the at team. So everybody, we started when the president signed last Friday. Friday was a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had a role to play. And so we started reading the act. We've had a few of our partners have read it up and down sideways, and we started interpreting. We started writing slideshows on everything out there. And the rules have changed. We can't produce something quick enough.
Mm.
By the time it goes through our quality control review, it's already changed. And so I just sent some emails out this morning to clients, and I said, here's what you've got to have for your PPP program application. And my last sentence was, but understand you will be required to provide more information that we have no idea what it is at this point. So it's changing, and it's going to change this weekend, guys. That's what I'm telling my clients. One more thing I'd like to add, John, here at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of frustration. If you go in there and you type in any news article on Google, there's a lot of frustration. People are frustrated with banks. I've received emails this morning. Should we do a pivot to another bank? Saying to banks, this is nobody's fault. You're
right.
Pulling out a $349 billion package with the SBA, and everybody's trying to understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, because the banks weren't exactly set up to process this volume of loans. The SBA is not even set up to do that, for that matter, right? So everybody needs to be patient. But I think part of what the idea of this show is to give people the information as we know it now, but also to make sure they need to be in touch with folks like you that can give them the latest, as opposed to, as you say, getting on Google, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Google's not your friend.
No.
It is your friend, but it's kind of like a disease. You can Google something that you got, and the next thing you know, you have it.
So, yeah, that's right. Well, before we get into some of the details of the programs that are out there, I think it'd be interesting for folks to hear, give folks an overview of what you're seeing with your clients generally in the current environment.
And I'll let Tim talk too, right after I speak, but this is what's interesting, John. We've reached out, we've got clients that their business has fallen completely off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've got clients out there that are right now having record things going on. And I talked to one yesterday, and what they attribute it to is pent up demand as the governor put the shelter in place order. There was a lot of people that were rushing to get things done. Their question mark, one of them I spoke to, they had a record month last month.
Mm.
But the question mark is what happens in 3 weeks? And so we're seeing it from all angles out there. Tim, you want to add something, what you're seeing?
No, William, I think that's right. There's just so much uncertainty out there. You know, our doctors, dentist clients, our optometrists, they've closed down. Our restaurant businesses, they've closed down. Some of our construction industry clients, as William was talking about, are still continuing because they are needed in the manufacturing process. So they're all over the board. But what we're seeing is there is so much uncertainty out there that, you know, our clients need to take advantage of any opportunity they can to mitigate this uncertainty. And that's what we're here today to talk about, is to those programs that they can help mitigate this uncertainty, because there is uncertainty out there.
For sure. Well, let's get into it. So talk a little bit about the programs that are available right now.
Okay. Well, you know, there's multiple programs, and if you read, and I would point people to read what you're being produced by you. If you go to our website, NicholsCauley.com, we have two PowerPoint presentations. Again, the caveat, it may change. It may have already changed from where you produced it. There's individuals and businesses. But, John, I want to talk about the business aspect of this. So from a loan program standpoint, so I tell people this, there's two programs out there. The first is the Emergency Injury Disaster Loan, EIDL. The EIDL loan, I say loan, and then there's advanced component of it. So the advanced component of it is there's a $10,000 grant that the government would give you regardless of whether you get the loan or not. You apply, you provide them your bank account information, routing information, and all, and the SBA, when they look at it, they say within 3 days of that they will deposit $10,000 into your account. This is regardless. So that's the grant component. The loan component of the EIDL, this is directly between you, the business owner, the business, and the Small Business Administration. This loan is direct. This is not administered through banks. Out of the loan that you receive, there's no determinable calculation. So they're going to take you're going to apply online and they're going to request some information back. That's my understanding. And from that, they're going to determine what the loan looks like. The good news is, that if you get this loan, it is a 30-year loan with an interest rate of 3.75% on the loan. So its intention is to be working capital related. And so it's administered by the SBA. We do not know how much the loan amount will be. We're waiting. I think you'll get contacted back by the SBA and they'll ask you for more information. But I just was on the phone a few moments ago with a client, and I explained to them what a client told me yesterday. He said it was this first process on the EID loan. Go to SBA.gov. It's easier than ordering a pizza online. Mm-hmm. So the first part is easier. So we would encourage every business out there to look at the EIDL loan application process. The second program out there that's a loan is the payroll, or it's the Paychecks Protection Program. We call it the PPP. The PPP is a program that everybody's read about that was in the CARES Act that was stood up by the government, signed into law a week ago, and SBA and Treasury is trying to interpret it. This is a loan program that is administered by the banks through the SBA. Now, the problems that you hear is there's two parts. I want to stress that at the onset, this is a loan. And then listen to forgiveness in a moment. The loan is a fairly simple calculation. The calculation is, what was your employer cost generally for businesses that were already in business in 2019? What is your employer cost? Add to it, employer cost is defined in the regs, but add to it, what did the employer pay for health insurance? Not the employee reduction. What was the employer's burden plus retirement benefits and some other costs? Divided by 12 to determine a monthly employee cost times 2.5. That is the loan amount. Day one, that is the loan amount. Now, the forgiveness portion, because we hear a lot of clients, John, call us and say, well, I get to add my rent in there and I get to add my utilities. And I say, nope, you don't. You take employee costs, average employee costs by month for 2019, if you were in business, times 2.5. That is the loan amount. Now, the forgiveness portion is determined down the road. Mm-hmm. It's what you do in the next 8 weeks. We believe the purpose of this program is they say, hey, business owner, we believe you're the best person to get this money out and keep your employees working. And so that's the purpose of the program. Banks are interpreting this as we speak right now. They're interpreting it. Every bank is asking for something a little bit different, but rest assured, employee cost times 2.5 is the loan amount.
Now, William, the banks are processing these loans, but it's important to emphasize they are not underwriting them, correct? I mean, they're simply processing the paperwork and delivering to the SBA.
Yes, that is correct.
Right.
And the computer go ahead.
In the law, there is some underwriting components that the bank has to do.
Okay.
And that's one of the major confusions that just came out actually yesterday, as a matter of fact. As late as Thursday, when the original rules came out and the community banks came out, and the SBA said, hey, community banks, this is what you need to do. Those certifications, all the rules that they were putting on the community banks were very, 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 very onerous. And then in the middle of the night, Thursday night, I think they actually came to a consensus. And we're talking Thursday night now. Friday is when the first day of applications.
Wow.
They came to a consensus that the bankers could live with, which is kind of like you're talking about, a whole harmless clause. If you do your basic due diligence for your customers, you know, you do some basic due diligence on the payroll cost that is out there. So I think Treasury did come back to the senses on this. I will tell you, you know, community banks, that's one of my market niches. You know, I do a lot for community banks. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very, very proud of all the hard work that community banks have done. You know, even to get this money potentially out as quickly as they can, it's amazing because of the fact that, as William talked about, the application from SBA actually changed as early as, you know, 3 o'clock Thursday night. So the banks, after they had done all that type of stuff, was scrambling to do that. So any money that had went out yesterday is just a testament to, I guess, private business and community banks are private businesses for the most part on how they are, you know, navigating this process. And it is amazing that they were able to do what they have done. And our community banks should be applauded for the efforts that they've had in this process. Now, I know the customer is going to be frustrated. Okay.
Right.
Because, I mean, the expectation is, hey, I sent in my application and I should get my money. You know, the customers need to temper the expectation because it was changing as of late Thursday night, the rules to the game. So, but I will tell you, I feel more comfortable about the community banks and the private sector getting the money out as they need it rather than through SBA and through a government agency. So I do think Treasury made the right decision in allowing community banks to get the money out, circulated as fast as they could. I don't think the governmental process would have worked to get the money out as quickly as it's going to go. Even though it may feel slow, it's really not slow from when you're thinking about it.
Well, and particularly when you consider the banks they're starting from a dead stop, right? I mean, there was no ramp up to this, nothing. And they're having to administer and process $350 billion loan program out of thin air, basically.
That's exactly right. So, mm-hmm. And I think I saw something where this loan program that they're asking the banks to administer is like seven times the size of the 7A program.
So what I was told by a guy Thursday night, I was on the phone Thursday night at 10:45 with a guy from Synovus. What he told me was that SBA was staffed up and normally processed around 70,000 loans a year. And they're expecting that over 4 million of these PPP loans will be submitted, and they're going to have to process those in 30 days. So, you know, how you ramp from 70,000 a year to 4 million in 30 days and expect to do that with the same infrastructure, you'll never make it. And I think that was a big part of why they decided Thursday night to pivot and push it out to the banks, because they knew that was the only way to get done.
Right.
That's just what I heard. So,
well, so, you know, here's the question everybody wants to know. I mean, understanding all this, that there's a lot of things we don't know, but I know everybody's wants to know, okay, so number one, when you submit, how long is it going to take before the money comes in, right? So we got to get that out there. But also, once you get accepted, you receive the money, how can you use those proceeds? What are the use of funds requirements or prohibitions or what have you?
And so I responded to that this morning. So basically now we've got the law. And let's answer the first question that you asked. What's the expectation? We have had smaller clients, non-complex. We got an email this morning that we've had some small ones that were funded yesterday. But mind you, they were very small, simple applications. Some of the larger ones, I was on the phone, larger bank yesterday, and they said realistically, probably go through the application process early next week, be some questions, data gathering, and they were hoping by the end of next week or the first of the following week that they could actually get funded. I'm sure it will get a little bit quicker than that as they go through, because there are a lot of banks are standing up their own programs to interface. Second question is, go back to your first question. I think if I was somebody applying, make sure, listen to your bank and what they ask you to provide. And the quicker and the cleaner that you provide that information, the quicker the process is going to happen. And understand that, you know, your bank, community bank, large bank, they love you. They do. But they still have to know their customer. And they have to understand the process. There's other regulations out here that they're having to follow. So what they ask for, provide. And if they ask for more information, provide. They're trying to get the money out in your hands as quick as they can. And they're also trying to protect themselves. Now, on the second part of the question, it goes to forgiveness. And so I got the loan, and now I'm working toward forgiveness. From the point that you receive the loan proceeds, what they're looking when the PPP program comes along, the purpose of the loan, the forgiveness portion, is to pay employee costs. That's how we calculated the loan. So it's saying keep your employees on the books and to pay rent and utilities or mortgage interest. Let's say you own your building and you don't rent your building, you don't get to take the principal payments. It's just the interest payments that you get. I think, John, that, you know, we're getting the loan proceeds out. I think just as we've had these iterations that Tim spoke about the night before last, I think we're going to get some really good clarity over the next 8 weeks as to exactly what you have to provide to get forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But according to the Act, those are the rules.
Mm.
Questions we get from clients out there regarding that. This morning I got a question on it, and he's like, well, can you calculate how much is going to be forgiven? I said, no, I can't calculate it because it depends on what happens the next 8 weeks. But so it's a loan day one. It's a forgiveness portion through the 8 week period. After that is the remaining loan. And as our understanding, as it's written now, the loan interest rate is 1% payable over a 2-year period. Now, we don't know if it's a bullet. We don't know, you know, what happens during that period, but it's a 2-year period loan. Tim, want to add something to that?
Yeah, I think it's very important that your listeners, John, realize the forgiveness piece, they do have a floor basically on the fact that you must spend at least 75% of those proceeds on payroll cost. You know, the whole purpose of the program is to go ahead and get money back into the economy, but to keep those people on the payroll, keep them unemployed so they don't tap into the unemployment, you know, so they can keep their health insurance, so they can keep all of those different type things. So the forgiveness split piece has a 75% floor out there. Basically, the intent of Treasury is not for you to take a 1% loan, you know, and go, you know, spend it on other things and then say, hey, I'll go ahead and get my, I'll pay a 1% loan. I don't care if it gets forgiven or not. No, that's definitely not the intent. The intent is let's put your employees back to work, take care of them, because you in the private sector can handle it so much better than we can in the unemployment and the government sector. So, So I think that it's important that everybody realizes there is a formula, but the floor is 75% of the forgiveness amount needs to be in payroll related costs.
Yeah, what I hear you saying, Tim, the great point you just made. What I hear you saying is that the lawmakers decided it's better to overwhelm the banking industry with a processing issue than the unemployment office, right? Because the banking industry is probably much more able to handle this.
Well, I mean, I think I saw something where there was 6.6 million unemployment applications last week, and it's going to even be more this week.
Right.
Your volume of this going on in the unemployment world is going to overwhelm the system. And, you know, even let's step back. Remember when before this happened, what was the biggest issue that our clients were complaining about, Keith and William? I can't find
people. Can't find people.
Right.
So what we're trying to do, and I think what, you know, the PPP program does is let the businesses keep their good people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't go anywhere else. And so when we come out of this thing, we're able to, you know, continue to, you know, do those things that we were doing before. So, you know, it's not a good situation, but I do think the community banks have stepped up and allowed, and I think they will be able to get the money out much quicker than any other organization that we have in place right now. It'll be frustrating, but it is, I think, the best alternative.
John, well, one of the things along this forgiveness, I want to point out something. This just underscores what we've been talking about. So along the lines of forgiveness, one of the questions came up the other day in one of our meetings. Is the loan forgiven or the loan and the interest? And I'm just going to point this out because in the text of the quote unquote final document that was issued on this law Thursday night, and we all woke up Friday, this was what we were told we were going to be governed by. If you look on page 3 of that, it says that the act provides for forgiveness up to the full principal amount of qualifying loans guaranteed under the Paycheck Protection Program. So if you read that, you would think, well, they're only going to forgive the principal on this loan. But if you flip back 10 more pages, it says, can PP loan be forgiven in whole or in part? And it says, yes, the amount of the loan forgiveness can be up to the full principal amount of the loan and any accrued interest.
Mm.
So right there in that document, you have statements that seem to contradict each other.
Right.
And so there's still confusion. I mean, even today, there are things in here that just really that don't add up. And it makes people wonder, you know, am I going to get the interest forgiven or not? So there's still, like William said, there's going to be further clarification on this. This is still evolving.
Well, let's be fair to the folks in government. I mean, they're writing all this down, right, very quickly and trying to get it out there to people and get the information out there to people. And that alone is the reason why you'll find clarifications. And I think folks may be frustrated, but they patience is a virtue, to use an old cliche at this point.
Yeah. And I think we need to temper, like you said, in the business community, we need to temper our expectations that we're going to get the money yesterday or, you know, even Monday.
Mm.
I think it is still very, I mean, the rules, like he said, were just published Thursday night, the interim rules, it's not even the final rules. So the expectation of, you know, the business community is we need to temper those expectations of when the funds will actually be received.
One thing, guys, and again, folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking with a trio of partners from Nichols Colley, William Sammons, Keith Daniel, and Tim Veal, regarding the programs that have been opened for small businesses through the CARES Act. And one question that back to the application itself that we missed that I wanted to make sure we get out there because there's been questions about this. Is there a personal guarantee that is required? Because that's common with a lot of SBA loans.
You remember at the beginning of the call, we mm-hmm. talked about two programs. You've got the emergency injury disaster loan.
Right.
That's administered by the SBA.
Mm-hmm.
They're in intent there is there will be a guarantee and collateral will be provided for that loan.
Mm-hmm.
PPP program, there's no personal guarantee and there's no collateral provided under that program as it's written today.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so in terms of we've talked about forgiveness. In terms of the situation that might happen for folks if that loan is not forgiven, we're still a little uncertain as to how that payback is going to occur and interest rate. I mean, we're still a little bit uncertain about that, right?
I think interest rates kind of been firmed up. The latest guidance, it was 0.5%. I think the banks pushed back and said, wait a minute, you're giving the fee and a 1 point. There's no market for a 1 point SBA guarantee. I mean, 0.5%. And they raised it to 1%. But the payment, it says payment due in 2 years. The question is it a bullet? Is it an amortizing loan? We don't understand that. And I think we'll get further clarification.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Awesome. So, Tim, let's turn to you. I mean, cause you're in Dublin and you've got your own perspective on what's happening with clients in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. And I think really, I think William and Keith asked me to join because my primary market niche is community banks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we represent community banks all across the Southeast. And basically I do kind of give a unique perspective because, you know, when we talk about the community banks, what we're seeing out there is frustration on their part, just as frustration with the customer. I talked to, I don't know how many bank presidents and all yesterday, and, you know, they were talking about their admin people were running out crying because that, you know, everything has changed and it keeps constantly changing. And there were some frustrations with the SBA website because of the sheer volume that was going through the whole process. So there was frustration in the community banking world. There was actually dejection Thursday, and I was very dejected when SBA issued some of those rules that said, you know, the certifications that the bank was going to have to adhere to, which was just going to slow down the process in general. Basically, just I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but originally Thursday, what, you know, SBA came out with is, and remember, I'm not faulting SBA because it's a fluid process, but what they were, you know, going back to was their 7A program, which said, hey, if you're building something, you know, you got to certify that you've got eligible costs. So basically in a program, the bank controls those disbursements. And if you're building a construction, you know, you got a construction draw, you got an inspector that goes out and looks at it, those type of things. Well, they were pushing that onto the banks under the PPP program. That would not have worked to get the money out to the community quickly. Mm. Because the bank would have to, you know, if I got a payroll, then the bank would have to come in and certify that payroll, then transfer it to the payroll. You know, so it was going to be a nightmare for the banks to administer. But, you know, as we talked about with that, the latest rules that came out early Friday morning, they had relaxed some of those. So they allowed the bank to actually move the funds out quickly. With that change, though, they changed the application process. So the banks who had already been receiving some of those applications, and Nichols Cawley, who had actually prepared hundreds of those applications for our clients, we had some of our CPAs crying as well because they were having to redo everything as early as Friday morning.
Sure.
But, you know, what we're hearing from the bankers are working hard. You know, we were talking to some yesterday. They've been working to 11, 12 o'clock at night trying to get these things through. They understand the importance of this. They understand that people's jobs and making sure that people are taken care of is paramount. You know, we sometimes just look at, you know, the owners of a business or, you know, the finances of it. What we don't understand is this affects thousands and hundreds of thousands of jobs and people's lives if they can continue to get paid and not go on unemployment and keep their insurance and those type of things. So it's very, very important. And I'm glad the community banks have stepped up and taken the challenge because it is very, very critical to our whole economy.
It really is. And I think one thing I want to have you clear up and just make sure people understand the difference here, because we've talked about the term grant. We've talked about forgiveness. So let's make sure, Tim, that folks understand what we're talking about there. And those words apply differently to the EIDL and the PPP, right?
Right. My understanding is the EIDL is originally it is an advance. But in reality, I think that is going to turn into a grant. So any business can potentially get the $10,000 grant, whether they apply for, whether they are approved for a disaster loss or not. Okay. On the forgiveness of your payroll protection program loan, that is determined somewhere down into the future and depends upon how you spend the money, whether if you spend it for payroll, rent, as William said, mortgage interest and utilities, then there's a potential forgiveness of that loan sometime in the future. Basically, it's going to be looking at some 8-week measurement period as a determination of whether you should get that forgiveness. So I do think the $10,000, and William and Keith, you correct me if I'm wrong, $10,000 is potentially, they say in advance, but it will be converted potentially to a grant where you don't have to repay it. Now, there's some uncertainty of how, if you get the EIDL and you get the payroll protection money, how you incorporate both of those into the calculation. And it just depends. And I'm not sure how that's going to fall into place. What we are encouraging all our clients to do is apply for both. Because it's important that you take, in this uncertain time, every opportunity that's out there. And so we're encouraging the applying for both of those for our small business clients.
And John, and I echo what Tim said, because there was some confusion at first that said you can't get both, but I was on the phone with a call with the SBA person the other day up the food chain, and they were actually encouraging both. So for your listeners, if I was in their shoes, I would go and start the process on the EIDL loan, emergency injury disaster loan, SBA.gov, in 15 minutes. And then I would simultaneously be working on the payroll or paycheck protection program, the PPP program as well. At the end of the day, what we don't know is what we don't know. We don't know what a month looks like. We don't know what 8 weeks look like. But we do know that there's opportunities out here to keep our people and keep our businesses going, and that's what they're trying to fund. So I would encourage that. Can I pivot real quick? Something, John, I failed to, there was some confusion in the program, and you kind of asked about some of this.
Sure.
What Keith was mentioning that he has in his hands now that he was looking at, there was some confusion initially in the program regarding 1099 people. Self-employed people that you have. And in the act, it implied that you could include that. Thursday night with this interim guidance, the final interim guidance for Tim, they clarified that you cannot include 1099s in your calculation, that those people, independent contractors, will file their own application. And I do want to add that yesterday the floodgates opened for the businesses and stuff that have employees and stuff. But self-employed people that'll file they open for business April 10th. So I did want to clarify that. So 1099s are not included in the PPP program based on clarifications Thursday night. And those folks that work for you as an independent contractor, a lot of our contractor construction companies have that, they will apply for their own.
That's great. That's great additional information. And I think there's another little piece of this too, that we need to clear up some confusion about too, I think, based on some of the things that are out there, is Is there a time limit to apply? I mean, obviously you want to get everything in as quickly as you can, but, and there's another question around, are there limitations on how much will get extended under this total program such that, you know, you may get left out if you don't apply early?
I'll take one thing, you know, it clarified in there. I had clients that said, well, maybe I don't want all of the PPP amount. Maybe I just get this amount now, and then we'll look at something else later. The answer is in the guidance. Per the guidance is you get one shot at this. One time. And so there, I don't see any provisions out there on applying for that. And Tim, based on, and Keith, based on my understanding, is the June 30th is the date to apply. That's the final date, but I'm afraid we're going to run out of money by then. So, John, agree with you. Start the process. Move down the road. Be patient with your bank. Provide them exactly what they're requesting and be fluid. This is a very fluid situation.
Yeah, and
the guidance it did mention, John, is a first come, first serve basis on the application process. It specifically addresses that in the guidance. So if you Google and read that, you know, it's Congress's intent to get that out there. What we do know, and I don't know how long $349 billion will last. I have no idea. But it's, you know, we're encouraging people to go through the process and start gathering and getting that their information up as quickly as they possibly can.
Got it. One other little aspect to this that we've got to make sure people understand in terms of how banks work. And Tim, I want to pivot to you on this. When you say, William mentioned this earlier, the know your customer, that's not a technical bank term that people need to understand. The banks have requirements that are compliance related to know their customer and know what they're all about, what they're up to. And this goes back to money laundering and post-terrorism acts and that kind of thing, right? So people need to understand they really need to be applying through the bank they're a customer with, right?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we represent a lot of community banks, and there's only two or three that are actively pursuing new customers in this program. Actually, even as late as yesterday, we had certain of our customers saying, no, we're only going to do this loan for our existing customers. You know, it takes too long to go through the process of knowing your customer and those type of things. So, John, you're exactly right. Your first inclination should be going to the bank that you do your business with. That will be your best opportunity to get in line first. Now, with that being said, certain of our customers don't have any debt, you know, and still have to go through this whole process. You know, so it's going to be troublesome from those that don't have debt and don't have a lending relationship to work through this process.
Can I add, John, I want to add that banks, some banks are not doing these loans. I mean, I was on the phone with a bank in Florida yesterday, and they're not providing these loans. But what I was really impressed with, this particular bank, they sent us to the bank that would do it. So they had a relationship with another bank. I was on the phone with the other bank in South Florida, and they're in process. And so call your bank because they're not going to leave you hanging. Call right. your bank, and they'll try to help guide you through this process.
Well, they have a vested interest in making sure. I mean, they don't want their clients to go out of business either. Who are they going to bank? I guess that's really the thing that everybody needs to understand. Stand CPA firms and banks are all working really hard together to make this happen, because it's in all of our own selfish best interest. I don't, you know, call it what you want, but I mean, it is in our best interest to help save as many businesses and jobs as we can. And we're going to all be better off, as many as we can save, and we will get into the recovery quicker if we have more of these businesses survive all of this. So,
yeah, and as you pointed out earlier, those businesses survive with employees in place so that they don't have to write their current employees in place, so they don't have to go about replacing them. And that would be even more chaotic. Yeah. So, Tim, I want to get down in the weeds with you just because this is a bank thing. This is not, it really doesn't involve what clients end up seeing, but there's issues around or questions around compliance down the road and compliance with regulations on these loans that are set on the books. And what is your sense of how that's going to work out at this point?
Well, it's going to tap a lot of the bank's resources. I mean, because if they have to go through a verification process of you spent the money for this particular purpose to get the forgiveness, that process will probably be, will tax the community banks and tax the banking human capital resources. You know, we're going to help our bank clients any way we can to navigate through this process. Mm-hmm. There's so much uncertainty and unknown right now, but I do think there is going to be a human capital issue at a lot of our bank clients as they start going through the forgiveness process, the verification, and those type of things. You know, I think that can be a more slower pace and can extend over a period of time. You know, the important piece right now is to getting the funds out where the businesses can be viable and the employees can get their paychecks. You know, how the process works going forward for the forgiveness, that process can extend, you know, for an extended period of time. And we still don't know how SBA is going to request the documentation, the verification pieces, and those type of things. But I do think the process of if you're a customer and you're providing and wanting to get the forgiveness of the loan, then you need to be very accommodating to the banks in providing the information that they request, because you have a vested interest in getting that forgiveness.
John, I want to add something to what we're telling our customers out there. You know, compliance, you know, they're certifying when they apply for this PPP program. And then, so what we're suggesting is that, you know, working with your bank, but we're suggesting that if it was Nichols Cawley receiving this program, the PPP, is maybe they need to set up a special account. And as they pay this eligible cost, they keep their documentation. And for instance, I do my first payroll, biweekly payroll, after I receive my PPP. Then I calculate my employer cost and I move that from that special account into my payroll account to cover that. And then as my rent's due, I retain that documentation and move that to my operating account to pay rent. And it, in a perfect world, and nothing's perfect, what over should be your loan amount. And what I want to be what I want people to understand is be compliant all the way through the process. Be compliant at the application. Be compliant through the process, and I think it's going to be less confusion down the road.
Yeah, this has been awesome. One thing that just occurs to me, one category of folks we haven't talked about, I'm curious if you have any perspective on, are 501c3s, because they're covered by this as well, right? And I know you do some work with nonprofits. Maybe you can address how they factor in here.
But they qualify on both sides. So on the EIDL side, emergency injury disaster loan, they can apply for application through that if they meet certain criteria.
Mm-hmm.
I know they added churches into the mix as well. And on the EIDL loan, if you even again, they'll determine the SBA will determine the loan size that you can get for working capital. And the beauty of that one is it's a 2.75% interest rate for 30 years. And then on the payroll protection program, yes, they can apply for that based on the same formulas, payroll, and you walk down the same path on the same rules out there. Mm-hmm. That is my understanding. We've got a few clients that are 501c3s and the various It gets confusing who's included and who's not, but generally speaking, they're included.
Well, and then you've got a lot of other type 501c8s, which are kind of like your fraternal type organizations. They wouldn't qualify on that side, but they would on the other side, right?
And when you say the other side, Keith?
Well, when I say that, they would qualify under the rules as a normal organization.
Right.
Yeah.
That, John, to be very, very fair, mm-hmm. to answer that question all the way through on this show, I was throwing the caveat, it depends. And but the intention is certain nonprofit organizations do qualify.
Okay. Okay. So that's important for nonprofits to be alert out there to this whole opportunity here to help get some liquidity during this environment.
John, yeah. One other thing I want to say, you were asking about the possible use or misuse of these funds. I think it's important for people to know that, you know, if you knowingly misuse these funds for unauthorized purposes, you have as an individual a significant amount of liability up to and including charges of fraud from the federal government. I would not want to be someone who took unfair advantage of this program and did anything that was not within the spirit of this program, because I think the federal government and everybody will take a very dim view of anyone who is found involved in that kind of activity.
For certain, which really speak, and William and Tim alluded to this as well. It really puts a premium on making sure your records are straight, right?
Yes.
Your books are straight. Your records are straight. So, so folks, get your books straight. Because and make sure if they're not, they better be as you go forward into all this. Well, guys, this has been great. Lots of information. Things are changing, so let's emphasize that. As folks need to keep in touch and keep alert. But anything else that you've thought of that we might have missed before we close everything out here?
You know, what we tell our clients, and we kind of alluded all the way through, let's be patient. This is a government, private business, private company interaction out there. Let's be patient. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world. We're trying to put some certainty back in it. Let's not panic. You know, I mean, there's a human side of this too, John, not just a business side. Mm. We are Americans. We are people. Our job's to help. When in doubt, help somebody. Stay 6 feet apart, but help them.
Go ahead. Yeah, you can help them and stay 6 feet apart at the same time, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we're all going to get through this together.
Right.
It's like I told my children last night. I said, I would work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, do what we normally do during this time of year if we weren't in this. Mm. But we are in it. And we're all going to get through it together, and we just got to do the best we can. And you know, at the end of the day, John, my parting advice is you, John, your business, you run your business like you see you run your business. It's like I told somebody yesterday, if you have to get rid of somebody, follow the rules. Don't get hung up. You run your business. That's kind of my thought.
Great advice here. Great way to wrap it up. But before we do that, I want to make sure that folks that want to get in touch with you know how to do that. So let's give them contact information.
Well, we have a website, www.nichols.com. We've got, you can download, you can look at some of the PowerPoints and other communications that we got. But John, we have a email address set up. It's called care@nicholscolley.com. If they will use that email, if they have questions, we have a team out there. We're trying to answer them the best. Understand that our advice as we understand it, is not to be relied upon. If they have other professionals that they're using, I would suggest that they confirm that advice with their professionals. And then I'll give them Tim's cell phone. I was kidding.
Well, we'll publish that Tim's cell phone on our website. How about that? Folks, we're joking, but giving Tim a hard time. But again, this has been awesome. William Sammons, Keith Daniel, Tim Veal, thanks so much for being with us. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
Absolutely. Thanks to you guys. And folks, just a reminder that if you you can listen to our show on any of the major podcast platforms. That's Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. We're on all of them. I've yet to be stumped by my challenge to folks to try to find us on find a podcast app that does not carry our show. And we're also on NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com. So check us out there and connect with us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, NorthFultonBRX on all three of those platforms. So, for my guest, William Sammons, Tim Veal, and Keith Daniel, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.